Hey everyone, thanks for listening to my podcasts here on the Hullerstubber feed. Do spread the word to other people if you think they might enjoy them. Do listen to some more if you think you might enjoy them, but do enjoy this one. I am shortly going to be on tour with my new stand-up show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Head to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all those dates. Some of them are sold out, some of them have hardly sold anything. It would really help me if you bought tickets to the ones that aren't sold out. Either way, as soon as you can. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's about cancer and testicles. One of them's not funny, but one of them's really funny, and it kind of cancels out the unfunniness. I'd say just on average, slightly more funny. So I hope you'll come along. If not, keep enjoying the podcast. We'll be back in September at the Leicester Square Theatre with more live podcasts. Maybe a few Edinburgh ones before then. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this stupid podcast you've chosen to listen to.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, you're about to listen to my podcast, Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast, and I am Richard Herring, and I am at the Leicester Square Theatre. It all makes sense when you look at it like that. You don't have to just listen to it this time. You can watch it for free on YouTube, on Vimeo, or here on iTunes, if you are on iTunes, by searching for Richard Herring Video Leicester Square Theatre podcast. If you want to help us pay for this endeavour, if you're one of those people who used to get a series pass, it'd be lovely if you would go and give us a donation of 15 quid or a pound a month. Whatever you fancy giving us at www.gofasterstripe.com/badges, or you can buy a video, DVD at Go Faster Stripe, or you can come see me on tour. But enough of that. Let's have a little listen or watch of this week's Rehearlerstupper.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who is happy to send a picture of his erect penis to every single viewer and listener to this podcast. Just tweet me and ask for it and I will send it to you. It's Richard Herring! That is... if I can get an erection, I will do that. It may take... Mate, I'm 47 years old. It may take some time. Fucking hell. Don't get old. That's all I say. Don't get too late. Don't get old. Kill yourself now. That's what I'm saying. Welcome to... It'd be very good for the ratings if you could do it right now. Welcome. Yeah, you're right, Taboo. That was very inappropriate. Well, we'll just edit that out. We won't. Welcome to Rich James Leicester Square Theatre podcast, or as all the cool kids are calling it, Rehearlerstupper. Oh, we got some... you're much better than last week's audience. We're going to come and meet some of the people in the audience who are foolish enough to sit in the front row. This hairy gentleman here is a newcomer to the podcast. You've been here before? You've never been here before? What attracted you to the Leicester Square Theatre podcast today? You've listened to a lot and thought, I want to come along, that's nice. And what's your name? Steve, what do you do for a living? Is it to do with the internet and computers? No! Did you get fired from your job? What do you do?
I work in a shop while struggling to be a musician.
You work in a shop while struggling to be a musician? What kind of shop is it? Is it motorcycle clothing? Because that, how good?
It's Tesco.
Tesco, that's good. That's been a bit of trouble, haven't you, recently? The thing is, if I go into Tesco's now, I think the mafia nicks some stuff, doesn't it? That's all part of the... It'll help them take their profits down a little bit. They can fudge it. Which branch of Tesco, if people will see you and want to...
In Brighton.
So have you come up from Brighton? They're paying you a lot for Tesco, isn't they? For, are you his friend?
You're a significant other. So he's got some insignificant others as well. What's your name? Holly. Good. I thought of a pun, but then I thought it's not good enough to do. Could you come back at Christmas? Yeah, okay. What do you do for a living, Holly? You're a student nurse. So that's I went on a CPR course the other day, so I can do I can save people's lives now. So, you know, if someone goes down, it's going to be a fight between you and me to get there first. Do you reckon if someone what do you do if someone has stopped breathing, what do you do?
Do the CPR.
Yeah, that is... That's not very good. Also, I've been playing... this won't mean anything to you or anyone else, but this is... One person will get this joke. I've been playing Terminator 2 pinball on my computer. So when you say, do the CPR, I think of Arnold Schwarzenegger saying, get the CPU. And... No, there wasn't anyone who got that. So that's good. I'll give me some... Edit that out. I am literally insane on Lemsip. I don't know what I'm saying, which could be good later on. But welcome, Holly and Steve. It was Adam and Eve, not Holly and Steve, wasn't it? That's what I say to you two. It's disgusting. Good luck becoming a proper nurse. When they do the exam, just say, do the CPR. What would you do? I'd do CPR. Oh, no, and you've done the hand movement as well. That's good. That is what you do. You've got to breathe in the mouth first, though, so you failed. We've got some people here I don't really recognise either. There's lots of new people. That's nice. Or are you new?
No, I've been before.
No, okay, I don't care about you then. Are you new?
I'm new to this seat.
You're new to this seat. That's why I'm seeing you. Quite got colourful socks on there and stuff. It makes quite a change from the... Look at these idiots that are sitting here. Then someone with socks comes on. I mean, that is what I'm used to. There, people are... That is like someone has taken all the features of a Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast and then done a composite drawing of them and put them in a composite piece of clothing. It doesn't mean anything to you hearing the... But when you get the video and watch that, the video's free now. Everyone's going to see that. What's your name?
Terry.
Yes. You look kind of more evil than a Terry. I thought. what do you do, Terry? What does DZ stand for? Death.
DZ Death Rays.
DZ Death Rays, is that a new band? Is it?
They're
an Australian band. I don't really know. I don't follow the music anymore. What do you do, Terry? You're unemployed in a band. Get together with Steve. What do you play?
I play drums.
You play drums. What do you play, Steve?
Bass.
Bass. That's two of the composites. We just need. Can you sing? Come on, give it a go. Just try singing, Dave. Okay. Well, thank you. You're very welcome. It's creating an uneasy tension. Have you ever thought of playing Guy de Gisborne in Robin Hood? Have you ever thought about doing that? Because I think. Again, the people at home are laughing there, so I'm not... I'm doing this for the people at home. This is for the comedians. I'm going to crack straight on. We've got fantastic... Before I collapse and go nuts any further, I was showing him my Slytherin notebook earlier on. He was very impressed. Again, I like it. It's got green pages because it's evil. That's what he noted. He is probably best known. What you probably know him for is he played Jeremy in Sex Lives of the Potato Men. That is his best known role. He is also best known as well as the voice of Greg Evigan from This Morning with Richard Not Judy. That is what he is best known for. Never done anything as good as that since. It's all down to the script. Will you please welcome Mark Gatiss, ladies and gentlemen? Amazing, Mark Gatiss. Thank you. Come in, sit down. Lovely to see you. Pick up a mic. Pick up a microphone. How are you doing?
I am wanking as I write
this. Hey! He was also Andy.
I am wanking as I write this.
It was Anthony Hopkins. He was Anthony Hopkins in the TV version of the Anthony Hopkins. It doesn't mean any of these youngsters. They don't know they're born.
I'm not well. I've got a terrible cold. I've got a bad back. But here I am.
Yeah, well, I've got a cold. My back's all right. I had a bad back. We're getting on a little bit.
That's
born.
Why we're here.
And getting a little
it's
bit.
It's Monday so we, night.
It is.
God.
It is. It's nice to be out, though, isn't it? It's nice.
But luckily, America's Next Top Model has moved to Thursday. I wouldn't be here right now.
You've got, you can record shows now really easily.
I know, apparently. I've taped it.
Did you?
I bet on audio cassettes.
I used to audio record Kick Up the 80s and only the bit that Rick Mayall was in. That was what good taste
Kevin
I had.
Kevin Turvey.
Yeah, Kevin Turvey.
Yeah, I used to audio tape Ripping Yarns.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. You kids don't know you're born with digital.
Especially the unborn. Over there.
So, what do you remember about being Jeremy in Sex Lives of the Potato Man?
Do you know, the funny thing is, one of my regular occupations is to purge it from any CV. But it was a strange experience. It was a script that was, like, fought over. I met so many people who desperately wanted to be in it. And honestly, when we all read it, it was meant to be a sort of... Kind of dirty Ken Loach film.
Yeah.
Sort of Carry On Ken Loach. Carry On Kez. And, no. It's a good idea. It just didn't work out that way. But the weird thing is, at least 3 or 4 times a year, someone usually quite scary looking approaches me and tells me, on a windswept beach in Northumberland, usually, they say, "Oh, that's the bloody potato man, fucking best thing I've ever seen, man." To which I say, about 11. But it's, I mean, the best thing about it was the first time I properly worked with Julia Davis, and everything we've done since was kind of because of that.
Right. It's often the way, isn't it? But it's amazing. They did have an amazing cast as well.
And it's also the thing I'm proud of is that in the Daily Mail headline that followed his disastrous reception, it actually used the words filth and fury. Fury at filthy lottery film or something like that. So it was nearly a sort of Demi Pistols headline, you know. You can be proud of that. I went into hiding for 2 days.
And yes, you were uncredited, apparently, on This Morning with Richard Not Judy as the voice of Greg Evigan, according to IMDb. You didn't even make it into the credits. No. I don't know why.
You were very cruel in those days.
Yeah. I think we just left you off.
And younger.
We were much younger. But, it was, I mean, this. Any good memories of playing the voice of Greg Evigan?
Yes, I remember it very well. I was really grateful for the work. No, well, I knew you and Stuart, and it was lovely to be asked, actually. And we used to sort of go in. I remember doing stuff, doing the Anthony Hopkins letters.
Yeah.
And on all the different variations of, I made this.
Oh, yes, remember that's what that? You did at the end, yes.
Bad Robot.
Yeah.
JJ's did often on the phone these days about Greg Evigan.
Did you do a lot of research into Greg Evigan?
I still don't know who he is. Absolutely. Who was he?
BJ in the Bear. He was in BJ in the Bear. He was BJ.
Was he BJ in
the Bear? Yeah. He was in this again. Too young. He was in My Two Dads. He was one of the two dads in My Two Dads.
Who was the other one?
Paul Reiser. Is it? I think it was.
BJ McKay, and this is my best friend, Bear.
That's it. I love BJ in the Bear.
There's a thing that you could chart is those sort of. Do you remember Action Comic?
Yeah, I mean, vaguely, yeah.
When Action Comic came out, it was a big sort of scandal in the 70s because it was so violent. But all the strips were just rip-offs of films. Hook Jaw. I don't know what that was. And the sort of Death Cannonball Race 1993, that sort of thing. And BJ and the Bear was one of those series that they did a lot of where there was a big film, i.e. Every Which Way But Loose, or Cannonball Run kind of things, or Tales of the Gold Monkey, do you remember that?
No, I don't.
Or the theme went, not Raiders of the Lost Ark, not quite. It was one of those.
We're going to talk a lot about 1970s and 1980s TV. You're just going to have to jump on board with this. It's going to be mainly this. When I did Time, Gentlemen, Please, I wanted to. One of the barman was obsessed with dodecahedrons and anything with 12, everything would be dodeca. And I wanted to do a sitcom that he was a big fan of called My Dodeca Dads, which was someone with 12 dads rather than two dads. And my, do you remember My Two Dads? Fucking hell, it's terrible being old. And only remembering quite obscure things. If I was old and remembered, if I went, who remembers Blue Peter? See, that's how you do
same.
It. It's about the same.
Blue Peter's been downgraded, I'm upset.
Yeah.
It's on CBeebies about 1:45 PM.
Yeah.
And it looks like all those other shows now. They still do badges, but it's depressing.
I bet you were on Blue Peter when you were
No,
a kid.
Never. No. No badge.
No. Did you try and get on Blue Peter?
Yes. I wanted to meet Jimmy Savile. No, I'm joking. I did. I had a picture not returned from Vision On, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because they were neither returned or destroyed or whatever it was. Pat Kiesel. And I did send several things to Blue Peter. Not a hope in hell.
No.
No. Bastards. Yeah.
John bloody Peter Purvis. They've all escaped so far.
I've got a question. Seriously?
Yeah.
Can we? No.
Yeah, well, yeah, we can. We can edit stuff out if we want to.
It does intrigue me why the Operation U-Tree investigation is at the moment simply working its way through the Royal Variety Performance 1975. When clearly the music industry must be... There must be people sitting at home just quaking in their boots every night. But no sign of anything happening.
Well, it's like they've decided we'll get the DJs first because Jimmy Savile was a DJ.
Yes.
It sort of is like... Oh,
it
we
might
missed.
Be where the leads come from, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose. He comes
officer.
From Leeds.
Get the Leeds. they're just staying in Leeds.
But it is very, because, well, there are... I was talking, in fact, to your friend from the League of Gentlemen, Jeremy.
From Leeds.
It was spooky. On the train on Sunday. About this very thing. That, like, you know, there are people who've gone... I mean, Bill Wyman has gone on record as being in a relationship with...
Yeah.
A 13-year-old girl, and so that's all right. Then that's all right. Her mum said
I think
it was
it's
okay.
Because her mother. I think it's because her mother said she was all right. Apparently, I heard the other day that Bill Wyman actually sort of wrote to the police saying, "Well, come on, then what?" And they just said, "No, it's all right," because they're big Stones fans. All the police.
Well, I would just say whoever took over from Paul McCartney, that guy, not Paul McCartney. The other guy. Well, I was talking about conspiracy theories last week to Catherine Ryan, which I met.
Yes. I heard that one.
Yeah, that's what it's already been out. So that's
I was
why
in the Norfolk Broads or something.
But so that's an extraordinary conspiracy theory. I'm sure you are very interested in conspiracy
theories. Well,
the Paul McCartney one is just extraordinary that people could possibly believe it.
But then...
And that they, not only that, that's what I love about it, is that they've covered up this amazing crime. Well, you know, they've committed a crime by covering up a death. Hidden a body, and then they've gone, should we put some clues in our music?
I'm annoyed. Is it all because he took his shoes off? Is that what
it's called? It's things like this, the shoes being off, there's a hand over the thing, you know, there's like, you play some of the stuff backwards, it says, you turn me on, dead man, or something like that. It's not even Paulie.
the thing that's bizarre, though, it sort of adds a little bit of, you know, verisimilitude to it, is that he doesn't look like Paul McCartney.
He doesn't.
He looks like a middle-aged postwoman. That's the terrible truth. He appears to dye his hair and eyebrows with typewriter ribbon. And he looks so strange now. I'm convinced it's not him. He was replaced.
Might be replaced,
but only
a
comparatively
lot
recently. Yes,
by a postwoman.
By Heather Mills, I think. Yeah. I find conspiracy theories fascinating, but I. Because I think what they actually represent is a desire to impose order on the universe. That's what intrigues me about it. Because in fact, it's secretly rather pleasing to think there is a dark government out there in charge of everything. Because there fucking isn't. The world is a howling abyss of chaos.
Yeah.
And if you believe that someone is able to assassinate royals and presidents, then it actually makes, somehow, when you're sleeping at night, you think, wait, it'll be all right.
Yeah.
The Yanks will think of something.
Yeah.
And it's not true.
No. Well, that the whole kind of Middle East episodes sort of show, let's go and kill the Saddam Hussein. Oh, that didn't work out very well. Let's go back in and clear up the mess we've created now. So, yes, nobody's in control. One of them must be true, though. Would you think there's a true one? Do you think one of them, Princess Diana?
Well, as you said last week, there's a conspiracy about when these are broadcast. I think, you know, people have that much power and influence, then of course they can make people disappear. But I think that the big ones, like the Princess Diana one, no one ever asked the question, why would anyone bother? I mean, it's not 1890 or something. The idea that she might marry, you know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think it's stupid, really.
Well, and yeah, made her kind of more popular and more dangerous than her being alive, if she was any danger to anyone. I'll get this out of the way. British Comedy Guide, not British Comedy Guide, that's who released this, the Britcom for Confessions website. I don't know if you heard this, about these are sexual fantasies that people put up online on Britcom Confessions, Dirty Britcom Confessions, it's called. A couple of them, I think, might have been written by the same person, or there's a very specific fantasy about you. My ideal Christmas present would be Mark Gatiss sitting naked under a tree. Not a Christmas tree, either, just a tree. Just
not a yew tree, I hope. No. Old tree, a larch.
But then someone else says, directly afterwards, about the 2 weeks later, under a Christmas tree, naked, except for Mick McNamara's shorts. Is that the name of it?
Yeah.
So they've decided to put some clothes on you.
That's right.
And make it a Christmas tree.
Make it better.
Someone else says, I have fantasies for every character Mark Gatiss plays in The League of Gentlemen, each profoundly filthy, and I love it. Every character you play.
Everyone. Who was that?
They're all anonymous, unfortunately.
Oh.
Would you like to do?
No, I just like...
If you feel like fulfilling any of these...
No, I'm just intrigued by people's names in that sort of situation. Yeah.
I find myself... This is not me saying this, just to make this clear. I find myself far too distracted in my daily life by Mark Gatiss's incredibly firm arse. Which makes it sound like you're going around waving your arse. I'm trying to get some work. Whoa! Look how firm it is.
Well, that's about the size.
Is that nice to know that there's people out there enjoying that? But you write under different names, and you've written some erotic. You've written some erotica.
I did write a thing years ago when I was desperate for money. Yeah. Long time ago, before your day.
No, okay.
Yeah.
And you
my arse is very firm in this.
you write under the pseudonym Sam Kiska, or sometimes
I did a Doctor Who audio play where I was the master, using the old tried and tested thing of when the master appeared. Sometimes they would make an anagram of the actor's name. Okay. So that's an anagram of my name.
You know, you could have gone for TR ass magic.
Didn't he write Fly Fishing? TR Asthma.
There's so many things to talk about with you.
Let's talk about something else.
No, I want to talk. You've come up with this idea of this detective called Sherlock Holmes that you came up with.
That's right. Yes,
that's quite popular.
Clever, eh?
Yeah, it's good. I don't know where do you get your crazy ideas from? What I would, in the next series, could you do me a favour? There's a thing I'm quite, this is a, one of my obsessions.
A penis?
It is, no, this is a non-penis-based obsession. Very rarely. I don't really like the character of Watson in, I don't think it's, and I was wondering if you could replace Watson with Tim from The Office. Okay, so it's then... Sherlock and Tim from The Office.
I thought you meant you wanted to be in it.
No, I don't want to be in it. No, Tim would get Tim from The Office. Yeah, I'll get Tim from The Office to do it.
Yes.
But he has to be Tim from The Office.
Right.
And then you could have, Sherlock would say, "Elementary, my dear Tim from The Office."
As long as you use the full name, that would be fine.
Didn't we used to
talk about that, about A Touch of Frost, that he was actually called A Touch of Frost, the character? It wasn't even Inspector Frost. He was called A Touch of Frost.
Okay, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. And...
Well, consider it done.
Have you thought about doing a bit where they go into a sewer and...
But don't even say it. It presses me. I get a tweet about that about 38 times a day.
Yeah.
From you.
Yeah, it's made from me. Have you thought of doing a bit about the lemon entry, my dear Watson?
No, no. There was a spoof version years ago with John Cleese and Arthur Lowe called The Curious Case at the End of Civilization as We Know It.
which I think is where those started, and they did a whole series of them. Smell of Lemon Tree, My Dear Watson, and all those things.
All right.
They're very good, but no.
No, okay. All right, that's all I got on Sherlock.
Why? So tell me about Harry Potter. You hate it.
My wife loves Harry Potter, and she made me go to Harry Potter World.
Oof. What, recently?
It was a couple of years ago now, where I learned, as some of the people here will know, that I have the exact... the handprints of the stars at the front.
Oh, yeah.
Like when you put your hands in. My hands are the exact same size and shape as Hermione's from Harry Potter.
Are you going to go to the UN?
Well, I could do it. Now I could use that for... I mean, I thought I could use it.
It might be like palm recognition.
I don't know if my fingerprints are the same. But I suppose if, yeah, they are, it's exactly the same. I just thought I could wank off blokes who wanted to be wanked off by... By the adult, Hermione. Catering for perverts. If you closed your eyes, is what I'm saying.
You haven't changed a bit.
I haven't changed a bit. Fear of Fanny?
Yes.
Yeah.
You've got that.
I just thought, I wished it had been a slightly more successful role for you, because that would be a great autobiography title for you.
Well,
you was in a show called Fear of Fanny, but you were Johnny Craddock.
Yes, fortunately, I was going to play Fanny Craddock in Psycho Bitches recently. I couldn't do it, and I would have been possibly the only person who ever would want to play both Johnny and Fanny Craddock, but maybe one day. Well, that was wonderful. I did that with Julia Davis, and it was written by a very old friend of mine who'd done it as a stage play. It was about Fanny Craddock. I loved doing that. And she was a real monster. And it was... We didn't have to, but we were made to sort of tone down some of the more grotesque details. Right. The most amazing thing was that she hardly cooked herself. Johnny used to sort of live off cornflakes and stuff. And their kitchen was an absolute disgusting mess.
Right.
She'd thrown a flan at him at some point. And some friends came around, you know, 3 months later, and it was still on the wall, gradually making its way down. Like in that Star Trek episode with the fried egg things. Yeah. Horrible. But yes, I loved it.
But you played quite a lot of real people. You were Bamber Gascoigne.
I'm the poor man's Michael Sheen. I get Michael Sheen's cast-offs. Do Bamber,
but
yes.
He couldn't do Bamber Gascoigne.
We could have a go. From Bamber, yes. Malcolm
McLaren.
Yes, I loved doing Malcolm. One of the most joyous jobs of my life, staring at Douglas Booth for 3 days. That's all I was interested in. You know, no, it was great, that, and a real challenge. I had a really interesting... I watched loads and loads of McLaren. Then he died in that way. Just after it had gone out, my friend texted me saying, Malcolm McLaren's dead. And then he sent it on saying, now you must play Fern Cotton. But I found it was... I watched loads of stuff, and I realised that he had the voice of Larry the Lamb. That's how I did it. Also, he talked to people as if he was blind. Very strange. That was my win.
He was a strange man. Again, I'm not sure the audience know who any of these people are. It's very strange. Who would win in a fight between Gantok and Professor Lazarus?
Well, it would depend if Professor Lazarus had changed into a giant scorpion creature.
Yeah.
So probably him, I suppose. Okay. Yeah.
That was a question for Doctor Who fans there. Not many of them got that.
I used to love that thing. We used to play that as kids, didn't we? Who would win out of?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who would win in a fight between Gantok or Agrado from All About Mike?
Agrado.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who would win in a fight between... I can't read what I've said.
Is it a Slytherin spell?
What is it? What were you in Frankenstein? Detweiler.
What?
When you're in Frankenstein, yes, coming up, what part do you play in that?
I've got a little bit in the new Frankenstein.
What's the character's name?
He's called Detweiler.
Detweiler.
It's a bit like Ernest Thesiger in The Bride of Frankenstein. I insisted upon blue spectacles and a German accent.
It's kind of incredible, because you're getting to do all the things that I imagine you wanted to do as a slightly nerdy child, yes. I'm guessing, growing up.
Yes, all of them. I've got about 1.5 left, and then I'm off. I'm retiring.
Because you're obsessed with H.G. Wells, am I right? Do you like H.G. Wells?
Yes, H.G. Wells. Men on the Moon. First Man on the Moon, and Doctor Who, and Sherlock Holmes, and sorts of things. I think I tell you what's interesting. I don't know if you find this aged the same age, but I really like having the luxury of sort of changing your mind about things.
Yeah,
you actually, you are sort of who you're going to be by the time you're eight, I think. And I collect fossils. I used to collect fossils, and I've sort of got into it again. A lot of the things that made me happy when I was little still make me very happy. I think because they put you in a kind of quiet, happy place. But equally, I think you're allowed to sort of say, oh, I'm not going to do I don't like that film anymore, or something like that. I think it's really refreshing. And strangely, having been a completely grotesque, horror-obsessed, morbid child, I'm slightly sick to death of the fact that it's now everywhere. And I don't mean that in a My Favourite Band's Too Popular way.
Yeah. You know,
it's like there was such a drought in the 80s, 90s on TV of fantasy series.
Yeah.
Now it's back to how it was in the 70s. It's an absolute staple. But there's so many of them, I just can't be bothered. I mean, I can't watch American
Not
Horror
watch
Story.
Them, but you're in all of them.
Yeah. Well, that's a Venn diagram of my retirement. Yeah. But no, you know what I mean? Obviously loads of them are really good, but there's just so many vampires, so many zombies, so much gothic horror. American Horror Story, which I'm sure is fantastic, but the third one is sort of set in a dark carnival, and I think, oh, I've fucking had enough of this. So I've got interested in other things and sort of slightly straighter things, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and so now being involved in Doctor Who, which again, when we were kids, was like massive and then got taken off their air for lots of all that time and seemed insane, and then has come back as this sort of different and 21st century thing, but it to be now in charge of it is like a massive responsibility.
Right? Yes, but I'm not.
Well, I mean, to be in charge of writing episodes. And creating it, and people take it so seriously. You look at Twitter when any Doctor Who episode, and people are furious about things or delighted about things. Do you feel that responsibility?
No,
you don't care?
No, I do care very much, but I care the way that I think. It's important that the people have always cared, i.e. which is to make a fantastic program for its audience. If it contradicts something that happened in an episode in 1967, then someone will find a way of making it work. But if you're eight and you never even knew there was a show before Matt Smith, then it absolutely doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It does not matter. You've got to make you've got to make something for your audience on that evening. Obviously, I mean, I am we, as opposed to not we. There's no Kinder fans in it. I'm totally immersed in every little bit of the lore of it. But I think you have to make it as a living, breathing program for the 21st century, not be hidebound by how it was. I tell you what really fascinates me as well is when you get really angry fans. I want to sort of sit some of them down and say, what do you actually want? What do you want? And in fact, I think the answer would be, I want it to be like it was when I was eight.
Yeah.
And it can never be that. And really, people struggle because they want the show to grow up with them, when in fact it can't, because it's not for them anymore. If they still like it, that's great.
Yeah.
But it's for the kids who will now be saying, you know, in 10 years' time, well, it's not like it was when Peter Capaldi was in it.
Yeah.
Because that's what always happens.
Yeah. And if you had to have sex with one of the Doctor Who monsters, which one?
One
would
of the
you
Doctor
have
Who monsters.
With?
Oh, yeah. An Axon, definitely.
Okay. Can you remind me what that is? Because no,
they're a race of beautiful golden humanoids in tight-fitting clothes.
I know which one it is.
Yeah,
that's a good choice.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to be in Game of Thrones. Have you filmed that already?
I was in Game of Thrones last year. Yes, I've just done.
Oh,
yeah,
you have, of course. Yeah, I've seen you in Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
my mind had gone back a year in my life. You've done some more though.
Time travel. I have done some more. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good. What happens in this?
I can't tell you
because we're going to get rid
it's
of.
It's good.
We're going to get rid of Sky Atlantic. So I need to know what happens.
Can't tell you. It's good because I don't understand all the ins and outs of it when people do.
Yeah.
It's a bit like being in Doctor Who if I didn't know anything about Doctor Who. Because I don't know very much, and people ask me quite detailed questions, and all I do is tap my nose. And, in fact, I tell you what I do. I directly quote that sketch you used to do. Which is one of my favourite things still.
I watch
it. Ah, do you not see?
I watch it.
Ah.
I watch Game of Thrones all the time, and I like Game of Thrones, but I can't remember the name of a single character in it, and or remember most of the people.
Apparently, George R. Martin,
yeah,
the writer of the books, has a man. No, he doesn't keep him, but there's a man in Minnesota, someone who literally knows everything. And if he gets stuck, he rings him up, and he'll just tell him.
What's the name of that bloke? Yeah. You know, he was in the one,
the king.
And is he still alive, that one, or did we kill him? I can't remember anymore.
I think that's what Shakespeare's dark lady was, you know, was like a sort of super fan.
Yeah.
He used to keep in a cage and poke, say, have I done this plot before? And she'd say, yes.
You've already copied that one. So, right, I'll ask you this emergency question.
Your hem has fallen down.
My what?
Your hem on your trousers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Emergency.
That was an emergency. Thank you for spotting that. That's very embarrassing. Oh, yeah, look at that. Awful. Shoddy workmanship. So if you had to choose between going on a date with a man who was a six-foot penis with a face...
Yes.
You're going to love this. You're going to be doing this in the playground in 3 weeks' time. Go, oh, and do the ham hand. No! Or... a man who doesn't is a normal man, except that instead of a penis, he has a tiny living man there who goes, hello. Which of those two would you write? You have to date one of them. Which would you date of those two? So it's
a tiny man. Is
it's
that
a man with a tiny, instead of a penis?
It hasn't been grafted on, it's natural.
It's growing out, yeah.
Nice.
And what kind of sick world are you living in? Someone's grafting tiny men into.
When you get Sky Atlantic.
Yeah.
How handsome is the big man?
Well, he's a... what, the big penis
no,
man?
No, the proper man. Oh,
the ordinary man
is out of the question. So
well, the man, he's better looking than a penis.
I'll go for him.
Okay, the man with the tiny man. Yeah. So far, that is...
Does he talk, the little man?
Yeah, he's like a different person. He's an individual.
Good.
Don't just say, oh, because you're attached to that one.
Yeah, no.
I don't know whether the balls are still there. Or whether it's just the penis has been removed by
like
the man.
It would be like total wipeout, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And presumably, when the guy pulls up his trousers, that man is just sort of curled up in the dark space with some hairy testicles.
He could easily suffocate, though. What's to stop him suffocating?
Well, that's
you
danger.
Haven't thought this through.
No, well, that is the day.
Dr. Moreau. Your mad Frankenstein-like ideas. And look what's happened. This guy's suffocated now on some sweaty bollocks. What a way to go.
So I'm quite obsessed with time travel, which I kind of don't... You know, weirdly, I don't even really think of Doctor Who as a time travel programme. For some reason.
I don't know why. That's what it is.
Because that's what it mainly is, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to follow the rule. It doesn't annoy me like other times, because it's just... Because I think he can go anywhere.
Mm.
It doesn't feel... Because it feels like he's travelling in space, really.
Do you want...
When you go back in time to some place...
Do you want rules or not?
I do want very strong rules about time travel, and it annoys me when they are broken.
Yeah.
I think if you could travel in time, that if you go back in time, anything you've done... If you went back in time, you would just do something that's already happened. You can't change the past.
I see.
Which obviously Doctor Who disagrees
all the time.
The Doctor, disagrees with.
Mm.
Doctor Who.
Where would you go?
I would go. I would like to go to Russia in 1916 and see Rasputin being killed and find out what happened there.
But
and
you'd be an accessory after the fact.
I would.
Yeah. If it's happened, you're there. Aren't
I am.
You?
If it's happened, I am there.
Is there a photo?
There isn't a photo.
Do you ever see that thing? This happens about once a year on Twitter. Some idiot finds an old photograph and says that person is using a mobile phone in 1921.
Yeah.
Time travel's real. Well, in fact, somebody said, "Why would you think that was the first explanation for that?" as opposed to someone just bending their ear.
Well, and you get those ones where people go, look, it's John Travolta, it's Nicolas Cage in a cowboy picture or something.
Yeah,
which sort of misunderstands the fact that a lot of people look like each other. even now, there's someone in... I mean, I really like Charlie Borman anyway, the motorcycling bloke, apparently. But there's someone else who looks exactly like me who goes around pretending to be me and does slightly evil things.
No.
And then I'm going to get the blame for it.
Really?
Yeah, I wrote an article about swearing in public, and then someone tweeted me and said, oh, that's ironic, given how you were behaving in the curry place in Walthamstow last night. So...
You mean a real person, like that man who pretended to be Stanley Kubrick? Someone goes around.
Well, when people have talked to him and he said he's me. And, you know, I'm very confused about my own
identity. What if it's Charlie Borman?
It could be Charlie Borman. Well, I want to go around doing bad things. And
did
then
you
Charlie...
do the Emerald Forest?
I did. He was good
you
looking.
Were very
we
good.
Didn't look like each other then. I only look like him now. He's gnarled and fucked up, unfortunately. And he's a lot uglier than I am, so we'll not have that. But then people go, are you Rich Channing? And they go, yes. So that's unless it is me and I just have forgotten about it. You know, it's...
Well, it could be a sort of Jekyll and Hyde scenario, couldn't it? Have you found yourself...
I go around swearing. There's the good Rich Herring who swears on podcasts. And then the evil Rich Herring goes to curry shops and swears
in Pizza Hut. Yeah. Have you sort of woken up naked in zoos or anything like that?
I don't think so, but, you know... Don't you think I might be a... Have you ever seen a ghost in real life?
Everywhere. They're everywhere.
Yeah. Everywhere. Can you see them?
No, I haven't, no. I'd love to.
Yeah.
I did have a vaguely supernatural experience once.
Right.
But I spent most of the time just thinking, this can't happen to me because I want it to. But I didn't see anything.
What happened in the vaguely supernatural?
Well,
did you wake
it's
up?
It's like Dave Allen. It's like Dave Allen. I'll tell the story. I was staying... I was living in a squat in Leeds.
Okay.
And a friend of mine... is living in this... What's so funny?
I don't know.
It's a long time ago. A friend of mine had an attic room in a four-story Victorian house. He went away for the summer holidays and he let me stay there for 3 months, which I was very grateful for at the time. And it was odd. I was on my own, which wasn't very nice, but in this room. And a few odd things started to happen. There was a very strange smell of pipe tobacco, which kept coming and going.
Right.
Very odd atmosphere, as if I'd come back and opened the door, and it was like the room had just had loads of people in, and they'd all jumped out the window. Very odd. I just thought it was preying on my mind. And then one night, in the middle of the summer, it was so hot, I was asleep on top of the bed, and I woke up, and all the lights were on, and it was so cold, I could see my breath in the air. And I rang my friend Roger the next day, and he obviously picked something up, and he said, are you okay? I said, yeah, I didn't sleep very well. And he said, have you seen it yet? He did! I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I think the room's haunted. I said, yes, I think I might be as well. So it was odd, very odd. And eventually, months after I left Leeds, this bloke came round to his house for dinner, who was very pretty. I remember that about him. His name was Christian. But he was popularly supposed to have some sort of, you know, second sight, and as they used to call it. And he hadn't been told anything about this, and he went wandering around the house, and he went up right up to the top, and he came back downstairs and asked Roger if there was anything odd about the place.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And he was quite non-committal because he didn't want to give him any clues. And he just said, this guy said, well, there was someone waiting on the threshold of your room. And they're still there. It's good, isn't it? That's the closest stuff, but I didn't see anything.
That's a ghost.
It's a proper ghost.
He's smoking a pipe.
Yeah.
Got lots of friends.
Yes.
It's like a ghost surprise party. That you sounds believe. Like, here we go. Oh, yeah. Fuck, it's not him. Get yeah. out.
But if you were a ghost, well, that's probably what you'd do. Yeah, you must get very boring.
Yeah.
Do you believe in ghosts?
No.
Do you believe in Yvette Fielding?
Yeah, I do believe.
I don't.
Don't believe she. What was that?
I desperately wanted to go in Most Haunted, just so in the middle of one of those, nighttime footage things, I could just go, it's just dust. It's dust. Turn the lights on. It's dust.
What was that? I've had a problem with the idea of... never die, you know, if you never die,
yes,
then what, you know, what happens? I mean, how long do you go on for?
So until if you're you see, a ghost, you have to walk into the light.
Yeah, but if you're a ghost, well, then where are you going then? Somewhere else. Well, exactly.
I think it's a bit like a sort of magician's camp that you come out and you're round the back again. You go, yeah. Oh, fuck. Here we go again.
But it's sort of, to get over the idea of death is quite a frightening. The idea of ceasing to exist is quite frightening.
Yes.
But the idea of never ceasing to exist is much more terrifying. Mm. Don't you think? To go on.
When I was a kid, I've always been terrified of dying. I'm not now, actually. I don't want to die. And I refuse to die. But I'm not frightened anymore. I used to think immortality would be the thing I'd wish for when I got those three wishes.
Yeah.
Along with time travel, which are the things which aren't going to happen in our lifetime, I've now discovered. But I don't think so, no. I think it'd be kind of interesting. I mean, if I could travel in time, I'd go into the future because I'd love to see what happens, whether we make it. But the idea of sort of, as is always done in those in vampire films, the idea of sort of traipsing around, going shopping, things like that. And the other thing that intrigues me about being a vampire is at some stage, without asking, you become arch. You just have to. You never, ever see a dumpy vampire who likes pastels. You don't. Somebody says, look, we only wear velvet. It's like a Duran Duran video. Just get used to it. And if we're going to have a big party where we lure some prey in, then I'm going to sit like this. And at some stage, you know, I'll probably put a big black coat on. It's a goth thing. Yeah. You become a goth. That's the worst curse of being a vampire. You become a goth. I went to a thing in New York recently called Queen of the Night. And it's Punch Drunk, who do immersive theatre.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a collaboration with them, but it's a sort of commercialised version of Punch Drunk. So they've taken over this amazing old club, which used to be a big nightclub in the 40s and was last opened for Andy Warhol's Wake. It's rather good. And they've made, it's fantastic. It's all like shattered chandeliers and things. And then they do these amazing circus acts. They are amazing. But the whole thing of it is it's meant to be very decadent. And of course, because it's not Weimar Berlin, it isn't, because they do it every night. It isn't, and so you come through the door and they put a rope around your neck and they do, and it's like they're like vampires again, you know, and they're just going,
what's the most bizarre place you ever had sex?
And it just makes you so English. And I just, this guy said, what's the most incredible place? No, what's your sexual fantasy? And I just said, I'm looking at him. And he went, have a good evening.
So if you went on the Brit Comedy Confessions and just respond, because you can do a response, you go, yes, okay. Oh, yeah, I didn't mean it.
So you, if you ever become a vampire, don't go arch on me.
No, I wouldn't. If you become a vampire, you're allowed to put a stake through your own heart. Can you do that yourself?
One you did last week,
yeah,
about the zombie question. See, yes. I thought Catherine said that she'd kill herself. In fact, if you blew your own head off, you wouldn't come back, would you?
That's true.
Yeah.
But she didn't really know enough about
it's really interesting that zombies have Zombies have completely changed. Romero changed zombies from, you know, voodoo,
yeah.
Haiti, all that kind of thing into the Walking Dead like that. It's a very interesting case of a monster that's completely changed its sort of MO, really.
Yeah.
And that Night of the Living Dead version has become what zombies are. As you say, slow.
Yeah.
And brain eating, that's all they ever do.
Yeah. I don't see what they get out of it.
Never explained.
And like the problem I have with zombies is they kind of want to eat you, but they only make new zombies if they just bite you and you then don't eat you.
Does the bite make you into a zombie?
Yeah,
it depends on the film, doesn't it?
It does, but basically, I've been watching a lot of The Walking Dead. I've watched four series
Sick
of that
of
in about in a month, so I'm just obsessed with that. But yeah, basically, if you get bitten, if you get splattered, you know, really, if you get splattered with blood,
so it's like a disease then.
Yeah,
but die and then come back, or do you just?
Well, in The Walking Dead, spoiler alert, I don't know if I can say, really. People are going, don't listen if you haven't watched more than one series of The Walking Dead. The virus is actually in everyone, so regardless of whether you get... regardless, you become a zombie the minute you die. Well, not the minute, as soon as you're dead, and then you're dead for a bit, and then you come back as a zombie.
I'm deleting Netflix. Ruined.
Yeah.
Good.
How would you cope? Would you be all right in a zombie apocalypse?
No. It's depressing. It'd be depressing. I think you'd have trouble getting up in the morning, wouldn't you? You would. I mean, all that... I think I'd like triffids and things, I could cope with that. There's something quite adventurous about that. But I guess it would definitely... All the people who would get off on it, and I think there are such people who probably do wish to be a zombie apocalypse because it would make them feel important.
Yeah.
But after about 48 hours, they'd be sick to death of it.
Yeah.
They'd be sick of the blood and the fact, you know... No one's putting the bins out, which is the great leveller.
Yeah. It is.
Scottish referendum, zombie apocalypse, very similar.
Well, if you want to kill loads of people, if you want to kill loads of people, zombies is good because you can shoot loads of people in the head.
Yeah.
But again, I think you would, after a while, in The Walking Dead, there's a lot of zombies. I think they would thin out after a while.
What are the survivors planning to do? Are they trying to get to an island?
Well, they're just trying to survive, really. They're just trying to get by. And then trying to find... They find places they can go. And then, annoyingly, everywhere they go, you think, oh, this is going to be all right. To be honest, I watched The Walking Dead, and I really want them just to find somewhere nice and set up a nice society. And then the rest of it just to be about them being happy.
You're definitely 47 now.
No zombies.
Did you watch Survivors? Do you remember Survivors?
Yeah, I do. I was obsessed.
I'll be too. Obsessed.
It was the first thing that I wasn't allowed to watch, but that I would, you know, you'd see the opening. Yeah. All I really remember is the opening titles.
Terrifying.
Which were with a guy coughing and getting on a plane and then
dropping the thing
and everyone falling. Yeah. Yeah.
Brilliant. But there was something in that which is never really talked about in these apocalyptic things, which is that it's a Terry Nation series from the 70s where an unnamed virus kills 98% of the world's population, so tiny pockets of survival. And about episode 6, the people we've been following meet the great Dennis Lill, who's formed a sort of commune. And it's for like 2 episodes, it's a bit like a dark version of The Good Life. Because they learn how to sort of use a loom and stuff like that. But then there's this really interesting stuff comes into play where he says, well, I'm going to have to impregnate all the women here. And it's really very interesting. But then the fantastic thing is, they go off because they find a radio beacon or something. When they come back, everyone's died of food poisoning. Because that's what would happen, you know? Or typhoid or something. And it's like, that's the least... Surviving is the least of your concerns, you know?
No, it's true. It's true. But yeah, every time they go in The Walking Dead, the person who set up the society that's working turns out to be... Spoiler alert. It was evil. They turn out to have gone mad with power and just, you know, you just think, well, why if one person would have set up a nice
like
society?
David Morrissey like
David Morrissey is fantastic, isn't
it? Is Morrissey in it?
He is. I wish he was. See, if Morrissey set up, if it was David Morrissey setting up one town and then the next town was Morrissey, I think the Morris town, I mean, it would be a bit racist and stuff, but it would be...
Latterly.
latterly
racist.
Towards the end, but it would be all right, wouldn't it? Because everyone would be vegetarian and it would be getting on all with each other.
Cups of tea.
Yeah.
I listened to his autobiography on a plane recently, David Morrissey reads, and I didn't listen to it all, but it's very good, but it's very self-indulgent. He obviously didn't have an editor,
no.
But it's interesting. The journey, he's taken quite a journey as Stephen Patrick Morrissey.
Yes. And did he just get David Morrissey to read it because
I think it was the editor's idea.
Right.
But, you know, he was a Scouser. I'm sure he wouldn't be happy about that.
There's a Spinal Tap thing, isn't it, where it's there's great works of literature read by someone with the same name as
him. Yes.
So it's just that. I'm going to ask you another emergency question. I'm going to ask one of the old ones because I sense the audience have turned against me.
See, people hate change.
They do. They hate it. But, you know, if I don't change stuff, one bloke on Twitter will go, oh, Richard Herring doing this same question again. And I care about that one bloke. I want him to be happy. The one bloke who will never like anything I ever do. I want to try and make him happy.
That's Stuart Lee.
It is Stuart.
Wasn't he an extra in Survivors in his village? I'm sure he told me that. They came to film in his village and he had to lie down and be dead. Ask him. I think it's true.
I don't know. He's coming on later in the series. I'll ask him about. I'll mainly talk about that.
Just
he's,
that question.
Yeah. Just over and over again. Go, no, I wasn't. Yes, you were. Mark Gatiss says you were. And yeah, he should know. Have you ever tried to suck your own cock?
Why do you think I've got a bad back?
Good. That is good. We talked about time travel a little bit. I can't remember what we talked about, which bits we filmed. We filmed stuff backstage for people who are prepared to pay a little bit of money for this. So we had a long conversation backstage about running, didn't we? It was good.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about that now because you have to
pay twice.
Yeah, you have to pay. I'm quite obsessed now with the idea of becoming a conceptual artist.
Right.
Do you have ideas like this? Because I think I play myself at snooker in my... When I was a kid, I used to play myself at snooker and commentate on it and be both players. But now I do that as an adult and commentate on it and put it out as a podcast, which I see as a work of art. Other people see as a mental breakdown. And I also had the idea of... it's too late for me now, but throughout your whole life, you save every pair of shoes you ever wear and then just arrange them in a line... so you see the your shoes. I mean, once you're dead...
That's rather good.
So it's like a mile long of all the different shoes you had, because that would show how you change and grow and also the absence of the person.
It's good.
What you, yeah. Do you have any idea? Do you have a conceptual art ideas? I mean, it's quite a difficult question to throw at you.
Yeah. I'll think of something.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, it sounds terribly sort of fusty and middle-aged, because it is.
Yeah.
But I actually don't understand the difference between that and most conceptual.
Yeah,
you know, that's a very good
I think
idea.
That's a good one.
I was at a thing recently, a drawing prize, and the winner was a sound installation. Thought I was seated the only person in the room who thought it was fucking ridiculous. But it's so, you know, that's I like that.
Yeah.
It's not art, it's a thing.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing
to do. It's an interesting thing to do.
But that's sort of what art should be. I was walking around in Shepherd's Bush and I think I was running in Shepherd's Bush, in fact. And I passed a...
you run Shepherd's Bush.
I run it. I've become the David
the
Morrissey.
Bush.
I'm
you
the
run
governor
the bush
of Shepherd's Bush. There was a baby, like an old-style baby carriage, like you don't really get anymore, without wheels on it. Like
pram.
A, yeah, well, like a pram, but no wheels.
Oh, I
so
see,
just
right.
The, right. The
yeah.
basket bit. I think it might have used to have been on a pram. And inside that pram was a used condom. And I thought, just like lying in there, I just thought, that's a great work of art, isn't it? That's just...
It might have, but you should have... There might have
well,
been a
I thought about
it.
Taking it home, but then I thought, you know, I will be taking home a dirty cot that's probably had rats in it, and it's definitely got another man's semen dripping all over it. So, yeah, I could take that back to my wife and see if she...
Again.
She feels...
Not again, Richard.
Would you mind if I put this in? We've got a special room. For all
I
my,
honestly know.
I'm like
I,
a pornographic
really,
bagpuss.
But Richard loved it. I do find it, I'm really intrigued by that idea. It's like, you know, who decides?
Yeah.
They decide. I actually wanted to do a Doctor Who once called The They.
Right.
Because, you know, we always say, well, they found this thing. they've discovered, who are they? It's them. They're over there. The They. That someone decides in the art establishment that someone's childish scrawl is worth £750,000, and the Childish Scroll next to it is just Childish Scroll. I think that's really... That's in itself interesting.
Yeah.
I found out something brilliant recently, which I think is deserving of at least a short film, that the Mona Lisa was not the most famous painting in the world until it was first stolen in 1885, I think, something like that. And more people came to see the space where it used to hang. It's true. Isn't that amazing? And that's kind of the beginning of it all, really. It's a concept.
Yeah.
The absence of the Mona Lisa. I think that's really... It's rather beautiful.
Yeah.
But it's not art. It's silly. It's just people being silly.
But you could... So do you still collect fossils? Do you still... Because that's the thing I was sort of into. Not massively into, but I love that. Because, again, it's that... It's getting a piece of very ancient history. Mm. So you collect them... You still collect them now?
Yeah, trilobites are my favourite. I adore trilobites.
What's the biggest trilobite you've got?
It's not that big. it's about that. It's about yay big.
Okay.
The thing is, you know, you can just buy them.
Yeah.
And it's not the same. Yeah, I mean, I've seen ones that I used to only see in books. Paradoxides, fact fans, which is a Cambrian trilobite. It's like this big. And you find them in shops in Brighton and you just buy them. But it's not the same. If you find them, though, and I found my first one, it was a red letter day.
Do you have a little kind of hammer that you can tap them out of?
A big hammer.
Yeah. Because the other day I was suddenly thinking, when I was a kid, what I really wanted to have was a metal detector.
Yes.
And I never had a metal detector.
Get one.
The other day I thought I could buy a metal detector. Yeah. They're like only like, I'm thinking get one for £33.
The only joy of being a grown up is you can do things like that.
Yeah.
Just go, I'm going to get that. I'm going to have one of those. But it's not the same, you see.
No.
But you might find a Roman hoard. Someone found one the other day.
22,000 coins or something, wasn't it?
Exciting.
It is exciting. I love them.
What would you do with them?
I'd pretend to be a rich Roman person.
See, it's all come back around.
It is.
Richard wants to live in ancient Rome.
I'd like to live in ancient Rome. I'd like to live in Pompeii. Pompeii and Rasputin, they're my main interests.
At what stage would you get out of Pompeii?
Just
in time.
Just before. I'd be There's like a brilliant, the, you watch, the elder or younger.
Do you ever watch Movies for Men?
No.
It's a terrible, terrible channel.
Okay.
With all the worst films ever made. Including a lot of like Steve Reeves, Hercules films and stuff like that.
Yes.
And there's a terrible film about Pompeii, two-parter, which is in a bit of a loop. And it's an Italian... It's one of those... It's actually from the 80s, but it's one of those sort of Italian, Swiss, German, Danish co-productions they used to do. Very badly dubbed. And it starts in the present day in Pompeii, and then it flashes back to the volcano day. And this Roman soothsayer... Not John Pertwee, comes on and predicts that Pompeii will last for 1,000 years. And then this Christian soothsayer comes on full of dire warnings. And there's lots of dubbed extras in the background. And at one point, absolutely distinctively, you could hear one of them just go, "Here comes the man." I watched it about 10 times just to see that bit. "Here comes the man." That's my autobiography.
Yeah. But yeah, we were talking about it. I mean, that's how the League of Gentlemen you bonded is over these sort of horror films, right?
Yes, yeah. Like, Carry On Screaming there was a day when we all first met when we realised we all had a memory of watching Carry On Screaming one bonfire night.
Right.
You can look it up now. It was Bonfire Night 1976 or something. Instead of being outside playing, we were all watching Oddbod Junior.
Right.
These things are formative, as you know.
Yeah. And there you go. Are you meeting all the legal gentleman guys on Thursday? I understand.
There we are. Yes.
I really do my research.
Yeah.
So is that the first time you met up for?
No. I've just been working with Steve all over the summer.
But all four of you together.
Yes. It's been a while actually.
And are you making plans?
We are making plans. Yes. For Nigel.
Because Jeremy Dyson was saying he wasn't sure whether what you would do or what people would want. But I don't think you didn't really, you kept it, you didn't do too much stuff together, you know. So I think like there would be a real hunger for more stuff.
I hope so. I mean, it's early days. It's a possibility.
Yeah.
But we did a charity gig last year.
That's right. Yeah.
For the Royal Free. And it's weird. We get those sort of requests all the time and we never do them. We suddenly just did.
Yeah.
And we just did few old sketches and it was lovely, and our old tour manager was in the wings and you could hear the chings in his hand. My favorite bit was that we did the Indian restaurant sketch, you know, and we always used to do this bit where Reese is trying to think of which fruit goes up the Scotsman's arse. And when we were on tour 38,000 years ago, we just used to improvise something every night, depending on where we were in the country. And on this for this gig, Steve says, "I see Monty Python are getting back together." I said, "Yeah. Do you reckon they'll do any new material?" I said, "No, it's just be a load of old men doing the same old shit." And then the three of us just sort of stared into space. Like, seemed to go down well.
But yeah, well, I saw that you do. I saw the Canal Cafe version of the League of
Gentlemen.
Yeah,
way back.
So, yeah. So it's.
That's. Well, then it's 20 years ago now.
Bloody
yeah.
Bloody hell.
Nearly 20 years.
What. Were there many characters that didn't make it? Because Jeremy was talking the other day about something you did that then Garth Marenghi came out and it was a bit the same.
We did this character called Mick Horror.
Yeah.
Who was it's based on Sean Hudson. The right. Robin Ince knows all about these bad books. The horror writer. He wrote the famous series of books about slugs.
Right.
Night of the Slugs and that sort of thing. And likely horror monsters. And it was like a sort of... We basically just wrote loads of his books, as it was. And I found one the other day, and it absolutely made me cry with laughter, because they're sort of vaguely naughty and then horribly graphic. But rather than, you know, rats or bats or something, it's slugs. But, yeah, we did a few of those, and a few from the radio, which didn't translate because they were kind of radio.
Really.
Yeah. There was one big one I used to love doing. It was really one of my big characters in live, which was a PE teacher called Mr. McCunn. And because I always hated PE teachers, and I remember early days we used to, our mantra was write what you hate, and I kind of poured all my frustrations of that sort of bellicose, sort of willfully ignorant man who would then nevertheless then go off and teach you maths because they weren't stupid, but it was like a sort of celebration of the base, and it was the double period of the week where the apes were in control.
Yeah, it's true.
But we never did that. I can't quite remember why it didn't translate, but there we are.
My I was thinking about my get, because my dad was my headmaster at school, which is a bit weird anyway. But then, so most of the teachers, I mean, looking back, I think it puts them in a weird position because they, you know, if I was quite cheeky and naughty, but how do they deal with that in the right way? You know, you don't think of it from their point of view.
Did he not, sort of overcompensate? Did he say that you must have no sort of indulgence for...
No, I mean, I don't know. I think he was there was deputy heads who did most of the kind of school, day-to-day schooling things. So he was quite a distant figure in a way. He wasn't... So he did teach me A-level maths, so that was kind of weird. But I remember the games teacher kind of would be one of the people who would slightly bully me, you know, because they would that's what they're like.
Also, but, you know, if you three are looking for some numbers, surely.
But it's sort of part of their job, isn't it? They're trying to knock some manliness into us nerdy dweeby
little
boys.
Like now, I mean, obviously, I don't go into schools, but I wonder what it's like, because when so much of the rest of the culture has been, you know, it's all very careful now about in case. First of all, in case people sue, or in case people are offended because of their religion. I wonder what PE is like now. Does anyone know? Is anyone a PE teacher? No.
They won't admit it now, will they? After we just
I wonder that, because there was a base level of bullying.
Yeah.
And, you know, swimming was like a nightmare. It was like you had to sort of drown, sink or swim, literally. But I wonder what it's like now, interestingly.
Well, let us know if you're listening.
Write in.
If you're a 13-year-old boy listening to this, write in to me. Don't do that. It could... Yeah. Were you the kind of... Because I did play like snooker and Sabutio against myself all the time. Were you that kind of kid? Were you occupied? Did you have like... brothers and sisters and friends that you played with, or did you, you know, I spent hours
and
hours.
I was quite solitary. I had like one best friend at primary school. I used to play. I love snooker.
Yeah,
snooker's the only sport I really like.
Yeah, still, well, it was one of the most. And now you like running as well. I liked running at school. So did you play snooker against yourself?
And yeah, I used to babysit for some people up the road, and they had a half size snooker table. Yeah. I loved it. And then I realised when I got to a big snooker table, I might as well not have bothered because it was so difficult.
It is.
Yeah.
I play on a 6x3. It's one. It's one, okay. One day I want to. I'm hoping that
you'd like to have a room when you with the full
I would
size.
Like, but I would actually. What I'd like to do with my snooker podcast is my ultimate. If you haven't listened to it, you have to start from the beginning. That's the first thing. And this frame 47 is really good. I've done 47 frames so far. I've actually done 50 because there have been three specials for my DVDs. So
will you stop after 147?
I did think that when I got to 47, but no, it's going to go on forever until one of the players dies. What my ultimate goal with it is for it to become so. At the moment, it's getting less popular all the time. So it started at 30,000 listeners. It's now down to 4,000. Well, downloads, they might not even be listening. My ultimate aim is to get one or no listeners but still carry on playing. But then my other aim is to tour the country just playing myself the snooker, because I don't think there's enough. I think even forget that, not playing yourself a snooker, which some people think is an odd thing to do, I don't think there's enough sport which is played by people who aren't very good at it that you can go and watch, right? There's school stuff, but again, you and I can't go. Can we come and watch the under-14s football, please? Because that would look odd. But, you know, most people aren't that good at sport, and that's kind of more interesting than watching people who are really good at sport.
Well, I do, as a non-sports fan, I do wonder what it must be like to live in a country that is routinely brilliant.
Yeah.
If you've won the World Cup four times,
yeah.
What do you do?
I mean, well, some people like that, don't they? People.
England, 1966 is like our creation myth. It's all we've got left. That and the wall.
Yeah.
We cling to them. Yeah. If you just won it, it's like...
Yeah.
It's not the same.
But anyway, I would like to tour the country, play myself at snooker, not because I'm not very good.
Do you know you never play against anyone else?
I try not to. It's why
it's a shame.
It spoils
it. Snooker loopies gone. What was it called?
The Jim Davidson thing.
What was it called?
Big Break.
I could bring back Big Break, but I would have to do all the snooker.
Yes.
I'd ultimately like to go to play at the Reading Hexagon on a 6x3 table, surrounded by people watching it and supporting.
Do
one
you
of
not entertain a fantasy that's like some miracle would happen, and for one year you would become Embassy World Snooker Champion?
I did as a child, yeah, definitely. And now I'm more realistic about skills.
Who is your favourite player?
I guess. It's a good question. That is hard. I think.
I mean, they're not the same. There's not the characters anymore.
There isn't. I did like. I mean, you know, I liked Hurricane Higgins, who me too is very much in the mould of. Yeah. But then I did respect the grafters in a way. Steve Davis, who's more like me, one. People were talking about Bill Werbeneck the other day. He was talking about
Big Bill.
Yeah. I will tell you, it was Paul Sinner met David Icke. He wrote a blog about it. Paul Sinner, who's the Sinner Man from The Chase, but also a fantastic comedian, but he likes quizzes. He was doing a gig with David Icke. He thought, you know, how am I going to cope with David Icke? And then David Icke said, who remembers Bill Werbeneck? And then he just talked for half an hour about the time he was a snooker commentator.
I saw an interview with David Icke a few years ago, and, you know, he's full-on crackers.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, they just said something like, well, what do you think about Spurs this season? He went, well, the thing is, and he just became a football pundit again. So somewhere in all of that, he just still follows football and stuff. I'm intrigued. I'm convinced now that Cameron's done that phone call. He's having to revise his idea that the Queen is a lizard because she purrs. So I think she might be more like a cheetah person or something. You know? I was really sorry to bang on about these things. I was really cross yesterday watching Andrew Marr because he said to Cameron, are you ashamed of that phone call? He asked him twice. I thought, grow up. It's just a thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
He was shamed. No, I'm not. She's a lion. Why would I? I was frightened of her. She's from space.
David Icke played golf for Hereford United as well, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah, who knows?
I've got Jeremy and I once bought one of his books. After The Matrix came out, he became obsessed with the idea that that was the truth.
Right.
Everything is just a construct. The Matrix is like the closest thing to real life we have. And there's an eyewitness account from a housewife in Herefordshire or something who once walked into the middle of a wood and saw Ted Heath and Reginald Maudlin, the then Home Secretary, decloak, turn into lizards and sacrifice a child or something like that. We became hysterical about this idea. This is also the base of conspiracy theories like that, is that why would these... immensely powerful space lizards then preside over the most piss-weak administration of the late 20th century. It's like, just for fun.
Yeah. And why would they take over a planet and then not just go, well, we're in charge now. Yeah. Here's our real lizard form. Why they go to the trouble of dressing... I think I said in...
We're going to come off the gold standard. The IMF can fuck themselves. What about a 3-day week? It's good, isn't it?
It's a lot more admin than I was expecting.
Let's go back. No, we can't. I've got the clothes now. I bought that yacht.
But also, I think I said this in the last series, but someone was saying David Baddiel was one of these lizard people.
No.
But if you're a lizard person, you can choose any physical form you want. Why would you choose David? Why would you be? I mean, no offense, David Baddiel, but you wouldn't be David Baddiel, would you? You could be anything you wanted.
Rob Newman.
Mm-hmm. You could be Rob Newman.
Now, see, that's more plausible because he's gone. He's disappeared.
He's back and forth now. He's doing. Yeah. He does stuff.
Slippery
about,
like a lizard.
Evolution and stuff now. I'm sure he would be a little bit more into the conspiracy theory stuff. That would be weird if he was, and then it was actually him. Mm. I think it's David Icke who's the lizard. That's what I've realised.
Brilliant.
And that he's distract. That's what people do, isn't it? They go to distract from themselves. They go, he's the lizard. Yeah. It was me all along. That's how he saved all those goals. Totally. How did he get to that?
You should have him on. Why don't you have him on? He wears blue and he calls himself Jesus Christ.
He does. True. Well, we've got that, a lot in common.
What are the guest list? For a podcast.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Well, if he comes back, I'd definitely have Jesus. But yeah.
I thought of a great idea for a series the other day.
What was that?
I just said in the course of conversation, Christ woman. And I thought, that's good, isn't it? Like the She-Hulk.
Yeah.
What if Jesus came back and it was a woman? That's an interesting program.
Christ woman. The problem with you is you're so successful, you can have those ideas and make them happen. You can. I have ideas like that all the time. And then I can't be bothered to do them because it's quite hard work writing scripts. Yeah. And also then no one will put them on. So, you're so successful, you can go, I'm not going to do any more Sherlock unless I can do Christ. and unless Richard Herring can do his Goodnight, Sweetheart
sitcom. Yeah. With Nick Lyndhurst.
He might be in it, but it's really about me finding a tunnel back in time to the set of Goodnight, Sweetheart. That's where it is. So he might be I think he'd probably
be a... It goes
on,
it's like mirrors reflecting mirrors.
It is. If you could go back in time through a little portal, I mean, you know, that's... And you went back to World War II, London.
Yeah.
Do you think you'd do a bit more than just get off with, like, the person in the local pub? Or would you... I think, you know, that you've been presented with an opportunity there.
Find the biggest standing set I could and somehow spend all my time on it. What frightens me is that when I was a child,
together.
Nicholas Lyndhurst was a child actor. Now he's in New Tricks. What does that tell you?
It tells me that New Tricks has let down its original remit by letting very young people.
Correct.
Very young people who are part of the gang. Even New Tricks has become victim to this curse of the oldie.
Yes.
These people are too old to be on TV. That's the point. No, they have to have young. Yeah. We have to have 25-year-old.
Justin Bieber in New Tricks. Yeah. I'd watch that.
But you could do it. Of people who are like in their late 20s who are now a bit too old to be, you know, in the prime time stuff. Yeah.
Just too old.
Yeah, just too old. So they do a New Tricks thing of...
Well, it's like an old folks' home for people who are 28.
In acting terms, that is, you know, that is. Unless you have a characterful face, Mark. I don't know what you're saying. Look, I think we're going to have to stop.
Bedtime.
It is. I'm really tired.
We're both poorly.
We're just blathering on.
Yeah.
You're
a fan of Night Nurse?
We did have some of that. There was capsule night nurses.
Very good.
Yeah.
Guaranteed good night's sleep.
Okay, well, I might try that tonight. I'm not terribly ill. And you know what? Talking to you and last week when I was here with Catherine, has made me feel slightly worse than I was. But you know what? We don't know who's on next week's podcast yet.
There's no throw forward.
We've got no. I haven't booked anyone for next week. So if you've got any. Do you know
who's around?
I don't know. Is Amy Pond around? You know her.
What about the Man Corps?
I remember that. Yeah, he's gone. David Icke though, the Man
Corps. Has he?
Yeah, he's gone a bit like the guy from the Corps. I don't think these people know who either of us are.
There's nobody there.
This is in your attic room. It's the guy we're going to go out and go.
What about the other Corps? Are they still there?
I think they are still.
Are they on Loose Women or something?
No, they're not. Well, I was kind of hoping to get, because I had in Fist of Fun, I had a Julia Sawala shrine.
Yes.
To begin with. And then.
You liked Sarah Sutton, didn't you, as well? Nyssa.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. Yeah. Okay. But 6 or 7 years later, I went out with Julia Sawala in real life for 2 years.
Wow.
But then, it was kind of weird.
Not intimate.
And then, it was sort of a strange thing to happen.
Did you feel like sort of Rupert Pupkin?
It felt like, when the first week I met her, I just thought, I've gone mentally ill. Mm. Stu was in Australia at the time, and I emailed him and said, I think I'm going out with Julia Sawala, and he genuinely thought I'd had a mental breakdown. But in This Morning, Richard, Not Judy, I changed that to the Corps shrine, to the shrine to the Corps, and there was the Man Corps crossed out, and I liked, what was she called, the prettiest one? Well, that's very offensive that you've all chosen the same one. It was Andrea. But Andrea... So I kind of thought, well, scientifically I've proven in 2007 I'll be going out with Andrea Corr. But that hasn't happened yet. So maybe it's an exponential thing.
You know that literally the last 25 years have been your breakdown from that first week with Julia Sawala. Yeah. All this.
It could be, that's why.
Still part of it.
But then I do worry about things like that. And I do a joke about it in my current show. And then saying, you know, I think I maybe died when I was 16 and the rest of my life has been a weirdly unambitious dream. it'd be a shame to have that and just not because, you know.
What ghosts do.
Why have I done this kind of me? I could have done anything with my imagination. Why have I done this mediocre thing? And the drip of water has fallen on Mark Gatiss now, which means that is time, ladies and gentlemen.
I can reveal that it's actually acid.
It's fallen. It's we work on a kind of a very, we don't have clocks here in the Leicester. very complicated water base. I think we'll leave it there. But
do you want to share a cab?
Good to, I've got a good Doctor Who idea, because I was in Hertfordshire walking in the woods, and there was a house with, in the front window, there was a 4-foot-high knitted 10-year-old boy knitted doll. With its hands banging on the window, with its arms above its head banging on the window, dressed in like real 10-year-old boy's clothes.
What?
But I thought you should do that in Doctor Who. And you know what's really, this is because I do this in the current show. I do this. This is a complete true story. You walk past this knitted doll, smile on its face, hands above its head as if it's banging on the barred windows of this house, which suggests. It suggests to me that window's been barred to keep the flaxen child within. And if it weren't, they weren't there, it would smash through. I did this routine, and my tech had to go, couldn't do the weekend show, so a replacement tech came in, who hadn't seen the show. He came up to me afterwards and said, you know that house? I think that's my great aunt who lives at that house. What? I mean, what are the chances?
What was the explanation?
The explanation was she'd had a breakdown and was insane and was now dead and died in the 2 years since I saw this.
Amazing.
But that'd be a good...
She couldn't have children of her own, so she knitted them.
And then they come to life.
Oh, God,
that'd be a good...
Well, what's that advert for the conditioner? Fabric condition, it's a bit like that.
Those
soft,
it is a little bit
like those soft people.
They could come
very
to life.
Sinister.
They could be in Doctor Who.
It's good, I like it.
It's mainly in it, Doctor Who, just spotting a thing and then doing loads of them attacking stuff. That's where it mainly...
Yes.
Get one thing, go, that's... And then...
I guarantee no one's ever done knitted children.
That's what I thought I'd bring
like big
that
clangers
to.
Or something, really. The clangers are coming back.
Yeah, they are. The clangers are coming back with Michael Palin.
Yeah.
And Danger Mouse is coming back with the actor Kevin Eldon.
And Alexander Armstrong.
Yeah. Not as exciting as the actor Kevin Hart.
Where is that?
That's true.
Yeah. Why don't we bring one of those things back?
We're doing Christ Woman.
Well, let's do Hector's House.
Oh,
yeah.
Jolly old Hector.
I knew I'd get him.
See, there's some.
I knew I'd get the exact reference.
There's some old people.
Hector's House is pretty much my earliest
Kiki and Zaza.
TV memory. Well, I told you it'd all be about 1970s kids TV, and I was correct. Ladies and gentlemen, massive round of applause to Mark Gatiss. Thank you very much. You have been listening to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre Podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Mark Gatiss. The music was by Pest, thanks to Orange Mark and everyone at the British Comedy Guide, all the staff and everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre, and Chris Evans, not that one. No, not that one from the Avengers. No, not the Australian politician. The one from Wales. It was produced by Ben Walker. It's a Fuzz Go Faster Stripe and Sky Potato production. It takes three different production companies to make this. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed show two of series, whatever this is, of Rich Chang's Leicester Square Theatre Podcast. It is free. You can watch it on video for free this time as well. If you feel that you're getting value for money of the 50 or so podcasts we've done so far, if you think they're worth 2p each, could you go to gofasterstripe.com/badges and give us a pound? You can give, if you think they're worth more than 2p each, you can give more money. That will help fund future projects and make us able to pay for filming it this time around. If you want to keep me afloat, I've had a very difficult Edinburgh and don't have any money. If you want me personally to get some money, you can buy one of my DVDs at gofasterstripe.com, or you can come and see me on tour, Lord of the Dance Settee, all over the country. Go to richtang.com/gigs for information about that. Thanks for listening. Bye. Tell your friends. Bye. That's it. Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thanks very much for listening to the podcast. Go to gofasterstripe.com for fantastic downloads and books, and to join the Go Faster Stripe Club and get loads of stuff from really interesting comedians. Help little Chris Evans knock that one out. That would be lovely. All right, richardherring.com for all my gigs. Hope to see you at a gig. Come and say hi after if you've enjoyed these podcasts. Don't come if you haven't enjoyed them and say you haven't enjoyed them. It'll make me feel sad.